Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
I'll meet you in the shadow.
And welcome to the Healing Light Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ken Burrow, and I'm so glad you decided to join us this morning. Today we have a treat. We have, as he puts it, your difficult, prophetic, praying, patriotic, political preacher. That's a mouthful right there, let me tell you. Pastor Miles Holmes is our guest today. Miles has traveled in ministry throughout the USA, Canada, the Caribbean, into China, Israel, and South America. Television Ministries has given him an audience around the world for more than 20 years. He has authored 4 books, which I have 3 of them in my hand because the other one's in my bedroom next to my, on my nightstand because I've been reading it. One of the things that I'm impressed by is Miles has a powerful social media presence on various platforms. He has, ready for this, 2.2 million. Yeah, I said that, million followers on just one of his platforms, Trump and the Great America. Miles is happily married to his wife for 36 years, and it is just a privilege to have him. He is the co-lead pastor at Revive in Collinsville, Illinois, and he works to put a smile on the face of God and give the devil a migraine every day. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Pastor Miles Holmes. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Brother Ken. It's an honor to be with you. I'm delighted to just share the Word of God and the hope of the Christian faith with you and your audience. And you left out one, probably my most important thing I'm most proud of anything, and that is the fact that I've got 4 grandchildren and 1 on the way. God is so good. That's my pride and joy right there, my grandkids.
Yeah, I understand that. I got a granddaughter who's got me wrapped around her baby finger. All she has to do is say, "Papa," and I go, "Yes, ma'am."
Grandchildren. They're an amazing gift of God, and my 5 children all married to godly spouses, and I'm a blessed man. And, you know, a lot of folks talk about generational curses, and I think it's important to break those off 10 generations, but I'm much more fascinated with generational blessing, how to get in the flow of God's blessing so you're passing it down from one generation to generation. I'm 6th generation, sixth generation spirit-filled believer, and just passing on the blessing of God from one generation to the next. And, you know, sometimes, Ken, folks will approach me and say, "No, that's nice for you, but I'm the first generation. I don't have those roots. I'm the first generation." I say, "Oh, my goodness, that's fantastic. You're the first generation. You get to be the grandfather or the grandmother that people look back and say, she started this. You know, she was the beginning." Isn't that a powerful thought that we can be the progenitor of generations of God's blessing and anointing and prosperity and goodness? That's where I live, in the generational blessing of God.
Amen and amen. So, what would be, if somebody walked up to you today and said, "What's the most important thing we need to know about Jesus and our current times?" What would you answer?
Well, that is a great question, brother. And I probably pause for a moment, think carefully, and say something like, "Well, all the truth you need to know for this generation, for this hour, and about who Jesus Christ is found in the Word of God." Ken, what's so shocking to me is the biblical illiteracy, not in the world. That shouldn't shock us. You know, people haven't been going to church or Sunday school or vacation Bible school for a couple of generations. So it doesn't surprise me that people in the world who have no Bible background, no church, they don't know who David and Goliath is. They don't know who the kings of Israel are. But what's shocking to me are Christians that don't know what the Word of God says. We've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back to reading the Word, studying the Word, knowing what the Word says. I've made a habit for many years, and I didn't come up with this myself, but I read, I think when I was 13, a Reader's Digest article on the life of Billy Graham, and he said back, this was years ago, of course, in the 70s when I was reading this, he said, "Every day I read one of the Proverbs," because there's 31 Proverbs, "and 5 Psalms," and he said, "that takes me through the Psalms and the Proverbs every month." So go through the Psalms every month, go through the Proverbs every month, then read some in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he said, "that'll take you through the Bible at least once a year, but if you read a little bit more, you can read through the Bible 2 or 3 times a year." And I've been doing that since I was 13 years of age, and Ken, that's really the secret sauce of my success, of my knowledge, of the blessing of God, that every single day, before I open up the Wall Street Journal, before I look on social media, before I turn on the television, before I do anything else, I open the Word of God, read 5 Psalms and 1 proverb of the day, and it is amazing to me how the Scripture speaks to us currently, to what we're living in, the hour we live in, this COVID-19 crisis. The Word of God always has something specific to say to me on the day that I need it. It could be correction, could be direction, could be blessing, could be prophetic, could be healing. But if you want to know who Jesus is, read the Gospels. Oral Roberts, when he had his powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit and was healed, the Holy Spirit told him to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over and over again, until he got to know the person and the power and the purpose of Jesus Christ, and his miracle ministry went from there. So, long answer to a very great question. What's the number one thing we need to do right now? We need to get back to the Bible, get back to the stories of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm 23, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. This COVID-19 is the shadow of death. It's a threat of death, but I will fear no evil. And people that are in fear are easy to control. And that's what the left wants, of course. They want people that have been controlled and compliant and stay in their house, don't go to work, you know, shut down the economy, destroy America. But because people who live in fear are easily to manipulated, easy to be controlled. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I just believe that the word of God is our power. That's how faith is built. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want more miracles, you got to get back to the book, back to the Bible. What does the word of God say?
Amen. Amen. You touched on a couple of things that I just touched on yesterday. The thing about the Gospels, I've been telling people for years, read all four Gospels minimum three times.
Yes.
Look at me like, why? And I said, because every time you read it, you're going to glean just a little more, another golden nugget of knowledge.
Absolutely.
And it's important to know who Jesus is. It's very important, because the more you know, the more you grow. And I'm not trying to, you know, be good there. It's just a fact.
Absolutely, you know, is. In fact, the critics of the gospel, the enemies of the cross, they finally got a hold of these guys who were revolutionizing. They said they were turning the world upside down. And they said they couldn't understand it because these weren't educated men. They hadn't been to Harvard or Yale or Cambridge or Oxford. But they knew one thing about them, because they were bold and they had results. Think of that. They were bold and they had miraculous results. And they said, aha, we figured it out. They've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Why? Because they were talking like Jesus talked. They were acting like Jesus acted. And they were doing what Jesus did. And if we're going to do what Jesus did, provide his miracle-working power and presence and victory and deliverance to our neighbors and friends and families, we've got to be with Jesus, spend time in his presence, pray, of course, and read his word, get to know who he is. That's when we're going to have his power prevail in our lives.
Very, very true. I'm fortunate that God has blessed me with some gifts. And but the most important thing is not the gifts that he's given me. The importance is, number one, Jesus receives all the glory and honor. We couldn't
Amen.
Do a thing without him. We can't do a thing without him. I mean, I'm fortunate to be in a healing ministry, but you know what? Without Jesus, you ain't got nothing. I don't care what ministry you are trying to go forward in. But the fact of the matter, Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He does not change. He still heals today. And, you know, you mentioned something about a revival. And I believe with all my heart that the Great Awakening, as some people call it, it's already started.
Yes.
But it's about to be expanded, and it's going to be, I tell people, it's going to make Azusa Street look like Sesame Street. It's going to be amazing. Because what I'm seeing, and you can add whatever you're seeing after I finish with this statement, is I am seeing people across the world, just regular people coming out of the woodwork, acting as God told us to act, telling us that for those who believe, these signs will follow. And I've seen people walking in signs, miracles, and wonders, and they're just everyday people. Because what
Absolutely.
I see in this Great Awakening is simply this, is he is pouring his spirit out on all flesh.
That's it. That's it, brother. I just preach on it Sunday morning. We've got to get away from the celebrity anointing and get back to the fact that you have an anointing. You plumber mm-hmm. out there, you doctor, you lawyer, you trucker, you teacher, housewife, your mother raising your kids, you have an anointing. No one needs to teach you, the Bible says. No one needs to teach you how to walk in the anointing. You just have to start believing it and walking and acting out in that powerful anointing. You know, all through history, we've built walls, right? We've walls of denominationalism, walls of privilege and position and title. And reformers would come along and say, wait a minute, the just will live by faith. We're all priests unto God. And then the revival would start. And then we'd build more walls of denominationalism and formalism and traditionalism. Now I'm preaching Sunday morning's message. And then we need another revival, Azusa Street. And then we get all religious again, and we get all tied up in our labels, and we build walls. And then God sends a charismatic revival, and praise God for that, and the Word of Faith movement. And then we start building walls again of celebrity anointing, and you've got to go here and got to get this guy to pray for you, and you got to go to this conference. And God is saying once again that he wants to send a powerful move of his Holy Spirit, the greatest spiritual awakening we've ever seen, and it's because he will pour his Spirit out upon all flesh. Your
That's
sons
correct.
And your daughters shall prophesy. And regardless of what the left will tell us right now, you're only going to have a son or a daughter. You are only a son or a daughter. There's no third gender. There's no fifth or sixth or seventh or 29th gender. You're only a boy or a girl. So if you're a son or a daughter, you ought to be prophesying, declaring the very word and the presence and the will of God to the sick, to the diseased, to the oppressed. The Bible says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, God is with us. God is with us. He is Emmanuel. And that same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead, not a different anointing, the same anointing that raised Christ from the dead quickens us, empowers us, and launches us into ministry. And this revival that you're talking about, Ken, it's going to sweep this world as all of God's people realize they have the power and authority to use Jesus' name against sickness, disease, sin, and poverty and despair, and God's glory will be revealed. It's a powerful thing when you realize what it means to use the name of Jesus in a legal sense. You've been married. I've been married for 36 years, and the moment I got married, my wife took my name. She had every right to use that name. She can go into a bank and write a check in my name. It's a powerful concept when you think of that. And what we're doing when we're praying, we're using the name of Jesus because we're the bride of Christ. We have the authority to use the name of Jesus because we're in relationship with him. We're married to Christ. We can cash a check in Jesus' name, and heaven will cash it for us. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to preach myself happy here. Now,
come on.
We have that authority to use the name of Jesus because we're in relationship with him. Now, you've got to remember the seven sons of Sceva heard the name of Jesus, and of course they went after demons and they were stripped naked and had to run out of town because the demons said, hey, we know who Paul is, we know who Jesus is, but who are you? Who are you in hell? You know, we don't know you. But if you've got a relationship with Christ, not perfected, like you said, brother, I can't tie my shoes without God's help. It's all to God's glory. But we also have authority, not in ourselves, but in the name of Jesus, because we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and we fulfill his will and we do everything to the glory of God, like 1 Corinthians 10:31 says.
Well, you know, I have to agree with, first of all, I think it's awesome that you and I are exactly on the same page. Absolutely.
We must read the same book.
You might even serve the same God, kid. Yes, no. Of course we do. But I just want to add, you know, this Great Awakening is going to be a nameless, faceless revival. It is not about superstar preachers. It's not about any denomination. The denominational differences, folks, listen to me. Your denominational differences are going to fall to the wayside if you like it or if you don't like it. And here's why. There are no denominations in heaven. There is one
exactly
bride,
right.
One Savior, and we're all going to have to get on the same page. And God puts us on the same page. This is my first time talking to Pastor Miles. And you know what? He's on the same exact page. And those of you who've been listening to the show, we've heard this before. It is because the Spirit of God is calling out to all believers to step up and act in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. You can do it.
Amen.
You can do it. Anybody can. I tell people all the time. I get a lot of prayer requests on a daily basis. And a lot of the times I just look at him and go, you can do this. You don't need me to call and pray for somebody. You have the authority too, especially
right.
if you're spirit filled.
Yes.
Because as Pastor said a minute ago, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. It's the same power. Amen?
Amen.
I almost went into preaching mode there. I'm sorry. Come on, continue.
Oh, preach away, brother. We need this is what builds people's faith. It builds my faith. As I talk about it, my faith is enlarged, my heart is enlarged, and God is glorified. And we're going to have to see the power of God. This COVID-19 is an opportunity for the church to arise and say, no plague comes near my dwelling. No pestilence comes in my house. In the name of Jesus, I'm covered. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering and pray against the spirit of fear, because bigger than this disease is the spirit of fear that's crippling America. And that's not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind, or a spirit of self-control. That's what God has given to us. Now, if you're like me and you get a gift, you appreciate it, and you want to open it up and find out what's inside. But too many of God's people know they have gifts, but they leave them on the counter. Open up the spirit of love and use it. Open up the spirit of power and use it. Open up the spirit of self-control and use it. Take the gifts God's put in your hands and apply them to pain, apply them to disease, apply them to sickness and infirmity and fear and spirits, and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have authority over everything that comes against me, and I am not a victim, I'm a victor. I am a champion of Christ. I'm more than a conqueror because Christ loves me and lives in me. And we have the victory. And this is an opportunity. The church has an opportunity now. Many of our churches are closed, of course, only having streaming services. This is an opportunity for us to be a church to the neighbors, to our friends, to our families, and say, hey, we're healthy. We got toilet paper. We got some food. How can we help you? How can we bless you and be the life of Christ for you? So we're going to come out of this stronger. It's amazing to me. I have heard that 65% of churches are suffering economically and are hurting economically, and I give God glory for this, but our church is actually doing better than we have done. Our income is up, even when we're not meeting. God's people are saying, we're going to remember the kingdom, we're going to remember God's purposes, and it's an amazing thing to me to see that God is building his church, because the church is not walls, and maybe that's the greatest lesson out of this. The church is not a building. The church is God's spirit in God's people, and we can be the church even if we're not gathering in a building for a few weeks. It's a powerful thing to see God's people taking up their responsibilities to be the light and the life of Christ.
Amen. Absolutely. You know, I'm sorry, I got distracted for a second there. Please forgive me.
Okay.
One of the things that I have been finding, especially in the last 5 or 6 months, is not only God is not only pouring his spirit out on all flesh, but things are changing in the spiritual realm. You know, I come from old school. My background, you know, I've got 35 years in ministry, and my background, originally I came out of one denomination who didn't even believe that God is still the same today, yesterday, and forever. They said that all those things passed away when the last apostle died. Thank God that's not true.
Amen.
Oh, I thank God that it is not true. That means if those promises ended back then all the others would have too. But yet he still saves today, and yet he still heals today.
Amen.
And what I have been seeing, I don't know how much you do in healing ministry, but I do a lot. People are getting healed. I've seen it in person, and I've seen it over and over again, over the telephone and over the internet, that people get healed when the phone rings. No prayers being said.
Yeah.
They get healed. I can't tell you how many people say, well, the anointing came into the room before the phone rang.
Yeah, well, part of the reason, I don't mean to interrupt you, but part of the reason for that is all God requires is faith. And the fact that they picked up the phone to make a phone call, that's an act of faith. You know, when Jesus went about healing people, he often said, you know, pick up your bed and walk, or stretch out your hand. You know, do something to demonstrate faith towards me. And the moment you start acting in faith towards God, God responds. And I've seen that happen so often as well. I've prayed for people for years. In fact, it became a little bit of a funny thing, but couples that couldn't have children, they were infertile, they would say, Pastor, pray for me. We've been married, you know, 5-6 years, can't have children. The doctors are confused. We're doing everything we can, but we can't have children. And I say to them, well, have you bought a crib yet, or a playpen, or a stroller? They said, well, no, we're not pregnant. And I said, well, why don't you show God your faith? Show God you're expecting him to answer before you call, even, and buy a crib, you know, buy some diapers. Get ready for the answer that's going to come in 9 months. And I'm telling you, Ken, time after time after time, couples would do that. They'd come back and say, "Well, we've bought the crib." And I said, "Well, I will pray, but you've already prayed. You've acted in faith. Lord, bless these child." And one of these couples came back to me and said, "Pastor, you know, we've had 5 children. You can stop praying now." And I said, "I stopped praying." God answers faith. God responds to our act of faith. So I always encourage people, what can you do towards showing God you're believing? And when you know, people pick up the phone to call, that's an act of faith. They're oh, I love the story. I know you do too. Where the man said, "Lord, help my Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." God's not requiring super faith, supernatural faith. He's just requiring faith. And God answered that man's desperate cry, and his son was healed and delivered. And I just want people to know that if you step out towards faith in God, God starts stepping towards you. Now, the biggest leap I can make towards God is just a millimeter. But God steps over time and space and eternity to meet my need. Praise God. And he will do it. We just need to step out towards him in faith, and whether it's praying for your neighbor, whether it's calling a friend, whether it's sending a text to somebody or emailing somebody, step out in faith and say, "Brother, I'm praying for you. I'm believing God with you." And if it's for yourself, just believe God and start acting healed. Start acting in faith. Start acting out your prophetic destiny in God, and see what God will do. It's an incredible thing if we'll just say, "Holy Spirit, if you'll speak to me, I will instantly obey. I'll not wait. I'll not check my calendar." You asked me to come on this radio program, and I said yes before I knew who you were, Ken. because when God gives you an opportunity, you have to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll jump on it. If I can, if it's possible for me to obey you, I'm going to instantly obey the voice of the Holy Spirit and see what God will do." It's an adventurous life when you live with a sense of instant obedience to the Holy Spirit, because you either believe God is speaking or you don't, right?
Amen.
A lot of people believe God is silent, and I don't believe that at all. God doesn't have laryngitis. It's often that we have wax in our ears, right? Or we're so distracted. I mean, we've got so many voices coming, emails, texts, the radio's playing, the TV's playing, the stereo's playing, and the kids are making noise, and we've got to go to work, and there's so many distractions. But there better be some time in your day when it's just you and the Holy Spirit, and you got a pen and a piece of paper, and you're saying, "Holy Spirit, talk to me. Write. I want to write the vision and make it plain so I can run with it and see what God will do." It's an adventure living for God. It seriously is.
And it's fun.
Absolutely.
I'm a former alcoholic. I was an alcoholic for 25 years. And I've had more fun sober and serving God than I ever did partying.
And you remember it.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, there's a lot of times I didn't remember things when I was a drinker. But the point of the matter is, he healed me of that.
Praise God.
And that took a step of faith.
Yes.
I remember it. I remember throwing my hands up, laying down on the floor in my living room in front of the fireplace, going, I give up. I give it to you. I give it to you, Lord. I just give up. 3 days later, I got baptized by fire. I was on the way to take a shower, and as soon as I stepped in the shower, this hit me, and I didn't know what it was. At first, it scared me a little bit, but seconds later, I was like, oh, this is God. And it went on for a long time. And I went in, and afterwards, I walked into the living room and told my beautiful little bride, I said, honey, God just did something. I said, I don't know what it was. I said, but it was just liquid love just pouring through like fire through my body.
Praise God.
And I looked at her and I said, honey, I'll never be the same. And she looked at me with those big, beautiful eyes of hers. And she said, yeah, boy, I've heard this before. But the fact of the matter is, it changed me and I have not been the same.
Thank God.
And everything you were just saying a minute ago about faith. Everything we do for Jesus requires a step of faith. You did not get to come to know Jesus without taking a step of faith.
True.
You had to take that initial step to say, okay, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on that cross. And 3 days later, you rose again, and that you are the living Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Father. That took faith.
Absolutely.
But when you took that step of faith, it changed you. You immediately knew inside that something had happened. I remember my day, the day I gave my life to Jesus. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit was there and present, and it changed my life. And he continues to change my life as we take those steps of faith, like Pastor Miles was saying a minute ago. It requires our faith to meet him. He is waiting for us to take that next step. He is waiting. If you have listeners, if you have every listener that believes in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, you have a calling and a gift. You may have several gifts, but you definitely have a calling. Most people I run into have no idea. They know they're called. They know deep down inside that they have a calling, but they don't realize exactly what that calling is. Well, what I've got to say to that is welcome to the club. Most of us had no idea where Jesus was going to lead us until he led us there, which
exactly.
Again requires that step of faith. Now, this is a good place since we're talking about taking a step of faith to know Jesus as your personal Savior. In every show, I always want to give the opportunity to who's ever listening. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today. And I don't get all religious about it. I'll just tell you simply, God wants that step of faith. If you say to him, I'm a sinner, and we're all sinners, we all fall short of the glory of God. Say, okay, Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I believe you died on that cross and rose 3 days later. I believe you are the living Son of God. Now prove it to me. Come into my heart. I will serve you if you prove to me you're real. Try it. I'm serious. Just ask him. And I guarantee you this, he will come in because he came to this world to save you, to save me, to save Pastor Miles. He came to save all of us. But it required you, and it required I had to do it. Pastor had to do it. We said, okay, we believe. Come into my heart. So today is your opportunity. Go ahead and ask him. And then, let me know how that worked out for you. Because I am positive that he will come into your heart and he'll change your life. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to do that. Go ahead and continue. I am absolutely enjoying this conversation.
Well, bless you, brother. It's a powerful thing when you realize that you can experience God. You can taste and see that the Lord is good. That's experiential. That's something you can know. Now people say they can't see God because where is God? And I can't see where God is not. You know, there's an awareness you can come to the presence of the Holy Spirit, to the presence of God, where you're walking in the Spirit and God is with you everywhere you go. I grew up reading, listen, seriously, I learned to read reading T.L. Osborne's books. My dad had all of Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne's books in his library. I come home from school so excited, go in my library, go in his library, sit on the floor in the corner and read as much of T.L. Osborne and Oral Roberts and Catherine Kuhlman as I could. That's how I learned to read, looking at the stories of the miracles, the pictures of God's glory being revealed. And so I grew up in an atmosphere of experiencing God and knowing that God's presence was available. And I love the stories of T.L. Osborne, and he kind of patterned, I kind of decided early in my young life, if I was going to be a preacher of the gospel, I wanted that kind of power and purpose of God in my life. T.L. Osborne would often go into places, and pastors would say to him, "Now, T.L. Osborne, we're going to have a time of fasting and prayer for the darkness and the evil that's around here." And T.L. Osborne stopped them and said, "No, stop it. I will not insult my Lord like that. I don't sense any darkness here. I see Jesus everywhere. I feel Jesus. Don't you feel the power of the Holy Spirit?" Everywhere he went, he was not acknowledging the darkness. He was acknowledging the light. And oh, my goodness, that's one of my, you know, every preacher has a hobby horse, something he likes to ride on for a while, and I could park on that for a long time. I don't see the darkness. I see the light. I don't feel the darkness. I feel the heat. I feel the presence of God. When I walk into a dark situation, I'm bringing the light of Christ. I'm bringing the presence of Christ. So, you know, I often travel in various nations of the world, and sometimes I'm traveling with people, and they'll say, "Don't you sense the darkness?" And I say, "No, I sense the power of Christ because he lives in me. I'm carrying my own atmosphere, thank you very much. I'm not affected by the world around me. I affect the world around me."
And come on.
I hope you heard what I said there. I'm not affected by the world around me. I affect the world around me. You got to determine if you're a believer in Christ, you're either a thermometer or a thermostat. We set the atmosphere, right? We set the temperature. We bring the presence of God. We bring the healing power of God. Everywhere we walk, on this, everybody's listening right now, that you're in a new atmosphere because we're talking about the presence of God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about experiencing God. So if you're in a prison cell right now, or you're in a hospital room, or in your bedroom, or your living room, or your car, that atmosphere around you is being saturated right now with the presence of the Holy Spirit, with the anointing of God. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. So we carry that, right? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. For thousands of years, God's people had to go to the temple, had to travel to Jerusalem, had to bring a sacrifice for them. And now look what's happened since the veil has been rent. Christ died on the cross. We have access into the Holy of Holies. And now the power of the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. So wherever I am is a temple. Wherever I am is an atmosphere. Wherever I am, I can access the throne room of Almighty God to find his power, his presence, and his purpose for my life. So how can I live in defeat? How can I live in despair? How can I possibly live in fear? How can I live in a sense of, oh my goodness, I'm in a dark place right now? No, I have light in my life. I have the power of Christ in my life, and greater is he that is in me than he that's in any place in this world. That's either true or it's not, right, Ken? I mean, that's either a fact or it's not. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me that's in this COVID-19, or in my lack of employment right now, or in my bare cupboards right now. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. So I'm going to win. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to prosper because I love God and his purposes are in me. And nothing the enemy intends for evil will bring evil, because God will turn it around for good. I tell people, Ken, that I suffer from inverse paranoia. You know what paranoia is, right? Everyone's out to get me. I suffer from inverse paranoia. Everyone's out to bless me. Even people that think they're trying to hurt me, they're going to bless me because God is going to turn it for my good. And if you live in that kind of attitude, my word, you can't get down, you can't get low, you can't get depressed, because everybody's out to bless me.
Amen and amen. Absolutely agree with you. You said earlier in the program that about people Christians now who walk around in fear. They don't know their Bible. They don't have the faith that they need to operate in a time such as this. And the Bible tells us, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if your faith is not where you believe it needs to be, then maybe, just maybe, you should immerse yourself in the word of God, because in doing so, you get to know more about him. You know, we said earlier about reading the Gospels at least three times. Why? So you'll know more about Jesus. Well, the same thing applies to the entire Bible, to know more about our Father God. And I know, without a doubt in my mind, that we are in a time right now where faith can truly move mountains, that faith can truly change lives. Excuse me. I see it almost on a daily basis. Yesterday was my anniversary of going to
Wonderful.
I went to the North Georgia Revival on May 5th, 2019. Pastor Smith there had seen an open vision of fire going across his baptistry. And at that time, the two men that had the anointing oil, which at that time was flowing from the Bible, were there also. God set it up for me to go there. God said it. He paid for everything. I didn't have the money to go. I didn't have the means, the ways. But boom, bam, bam, boom, I'm there. And at North Georgia, in Dawsonville, Georgia, at the North Georgia Revival, Christ Fellowship Church. And I went there with great expectations, Miles. I did. I thought I was going to get, you know, tinglies on my tinglies, electricity running through my body. I'd get slain in the spirit. I'd roll down the aisles and knock people over. And it would be an incredible experience. And you know what happened? I got wet. I got in that baptistry and I got wet. No central supernatural. I didn't knock anybody over. Nothing happened except I got wet. But the next morning, which had been 1 year ago today, I prayed for a woman who had a stroke with the evidence of the stroke. You know, she was dragging her left side, the arm, the whole thing. Within 30 minutes, all evidence of that stroke was gone. All of it.
Hallelujah.
And I was like, wow. On the way home, I ended up praying for a waiter at a restaurant who couldn't hear. Instantly, his ears were open. And that was the beginning of a new journey for me, because previously, I probably had seen 25, 30 really cool miracles in my ministry. But since then, I've seen well over 400, hundreds and hundreds of people being healed.
Praise God.
And it is because He truly is. What I like to tell people is this. There is a great awakening coming. I call it show and tell. Kind of like what Jesus did. He come in, he heals everybody, and he tells them about the kingdom of God. That's the same thing that's going to happen in these last days. People are going to come, they're going to get healed. They're going to see the power of the living Son of God in a great, faceless, nameless revival. And they're going to get healed. And then we get to tell them about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I am looking so forward to this. I have been waiting for a long time. Now, this COVID-19 thing, I didn't see that coming. I'm not a prophet. You know, I get words of wisdom and I get words of knowledge, but he didn't give me no prophecy about, you know, COVID-19 coming. And it seems on the outside looking in that, wow, this is such a major problem. But you know what? Besides toilet paper shortages, you know what else there's a shortage of? Bibles. They have been flying off the bookshelves. They can't keep Bibles in stock. Praise God! That is a...
Amen.
I'm writing all over me again. That's one thing I'm liking about this show this morning, is the presence of God is all over. I don't know if he's all over you, but he's definitely all over me. And
glory to God. God's moving. God by his spirit is working. It's always an incredible thing. We see it in the scripture. The Bible says that if the enemy had known what was happening on the cross, he never would have had Jesus crucified, right? The devil's cunning. He's evil, but he's not smart. He's not wise. And everything the enemy intends to do out of this is actually going to have the opposite effect. God's going to be glorified. God's people are going to be empowered. Churches are going to be stronger. The kingdom is going to be built. And the Holy Spirit is going to do wonderful things in spite of this and even because of this COVID-19. It's an incredible time to be alive. It's a warning. It's a wake-up call for the church to be ready for God's Holy Spirit to move. And it's an incredible season to just be aware of God's Spirit and never don't get your news from the news because it's mostly fake news. Get your news from the pages of the Holy Scripture. Today, I'll be just sharing. I do a little devotional on all my pages, and I'll be sharing from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear, right? The Lord is my light. He's my Savior, my deliverer, my captain, my armor, my protector. Why should I be afraid? It's an absolute insult to the God of eternity for any of God's people to have any kind of fear in their life, fear of health, of the economy, because God is supernaturally providing for his people. We're going to have testimonies at the end of this COVID-19 of how God multiplied pasta in the cupboard, how he multiplied gas in our cars, how he made food go further, how he made clothes last longer, how he provided supernaturally and miraculously for us. This is an opportunity for us to begin to record what God has done in the midst of this COVID-19. And we'll be able to tell our children and grandchildren what God has done if we operate out of faith and not fear.
Amen. Amen and amen. I am really pleased to be talking to you today because I know in my own heart what's coming. I know that this great awakening is happening. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to talk to true apostles and true prophets of God across this country. And you know what amazes me? They're on the same page you and I are on. They don't know
praise
each
God.
Other, but they're all saying the same thing. And only the Spirit of God can do that. Only the Spirit
only
of
the
God.
Spirit of God.
So people get ready. It is coming. And let me explain to you why it's coming. Because Jesus is coming for his bride, wrinkled and blemish free. So if you're going to be part of the pride of the bride, you got to get rid of the pride and fall in line with what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, which is simply everything we've been talking about today. Stepping out in faith, believing God over the world. You know, you mentioned Psalms 91 a minute ago. I've been a Psalms 91 man for decades. Absolutely believe in it and have proof over proof over proof over proof over proof of how many times standing on that one Psalms has brought blessings instead of failures. It amazes me. And I tell people all the time, God is not a respecter of persons. You don't have to be like Pastor Miles and I with 30-some years of ministry. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You know, I am looking forward to seeing everybody operating in the authority of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if every believer stood out and absolutely walked out their faith and did the things that Jesus Christ said we could do, which is greater things than that he did? Could you imagine?
And I, brother, I've got to bring us back to this idea that we've got to get away from this celebrity man-centered anointing, this super preacher anointing idea. In fact, I'll tell you a sad story. Now, I live in Victory, but I tell sad stories as warnings, right? Had a youth pastor years ago who was on fire, and he was effective. He was touching the community. He was on staff for a couple of years, and suddenly I noticed that he was just had lost his fire, lost his passion, lost his joy, his energy. The ministry started suffering, and I called him in and said, "Brother, I said, you have to tell me what's going on. I said, I want to pray for you. I want to support you. I want to encourage you. I want you to get back to where you were." I said, "But what's happening?" And he didn't want to talk to me. And I said, "Brother, you're not leaving here till you tell me what's going on. And they finally confessed. He said, well, I suddenly realized I'm called to take on Benny Hinn's mantle, Benny Hinn's anointing, and so I'm frustrated here. I'm the next Benny Hinn. And I didn't laugh at him. I didn't mock him. I tried to encourage him very gently. Brother, Benny Hinn has Benny Hinn's anointing. You have your anointing. You're not going to get Benny Hinn's anointing. He didn't get Catherine Kuhlman's anointing. They didn't get Billy Graham's anointing. You have your own anointing. He said, no, no, no. God told me I have Benny Hinn's anointing. I'm going to have the next stadium evangelism. I'm going to be healing multitudes and having a TV ministry. And I said, brother, I'm sorry. I said, but God's not calling you to that. God's calling you to your anointing. I said, he's not calling you to my anointing or Benny Hinn's anointing. Anyhow, long story short, he's out of the ministry, and I won't tell you what he's doing right now. It's nothing wrong with selling what he's selling, but he's not preaching, he's not ministering, he's not laying hands on anybody, because he got his eyes on a man's anointing instead of operating in God's anointing that was already on his life. And that's a sad thing. Whenever you think you've got to have my anointing or his anointing or her anointing, you're missing it, because you already have an anointing. You have an anointing to be a teacher, a plumber, a doctor, a lawyer, a mother, a husband, a neighbor. You have an anointing to reach your neighborhood. And my goodness, what an opportunity we have right now in this COVID-19 to say, I have an anointing to touch my neighborhood. My neighbor, are there seniors that are afraid or that are lonely, that need somebody to pick up groceries? You have an anointing for that. Bake cookies. My goodness. If somebody would bake cookies and give them in the name of Jesus to a neighbor, what a blessing that could be, right? So whatever gifts you have, whatever skills you have, whatever anointings you have, use them for God's glory, and use them. Pray over your gift. Pray over your skill and see what God will do. Grow a garden and give some vegetables in the name of Jesus. It can be that simple. It can be that down to earth, just being a blessing where you are and using it to say, I love you in the name of Jesus. Can I pray for you? I've had a habit for years now, whenever I meet anybody, if I have any opportunity at all, just simply say, hey, friend, can I pray for you? It could be a stranger. It could be a FedEx employee, right? It often happens at a restaurant. Somebody's serving me. Hey, we're going to pray over our meal. Can I pray for you? Only twice in about 6 years has somebody said, no, don't pray for me. Often they'll say, you know, my mother's sick, or my boyfriend is out of work, or my child is really sick, or my mother's in the hospital. And my goodness, what a powerful thing it is to be able to stop, take 30 seconds or a minute, and just speak God's presence into a broken life. There's always ministry available if you'll just say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, and I'll instantly obey you.
Yes, I agree. I wish that I would always instantly obey. There are times, I'm just being transparent here, that I can tell you I've seen a lot of Walmart miracles. But there are times I'll be walking through Walmart, the Holy Spirit will say, go pray for that person. And I'll say, okay. And I'll walk over and walk right by him. And I'll walk by him again. About three or four times later, the Holy Spirit said, did I not tell you to pray for him? Yes. It happened to me. This one guy was in one of those little motorized carts. And for some reason, fear got a hold of me. I was just afraid to walk up to him. But God said, go pray for him. And fear, I think it's an acronym. Joyce Myers, I think, came up with the acronym for false evidence appearing real.
Sure.
Fear is always false evidence appearing real. Fear is not from God. He tells us over 365 times, do not fear. He must be trying to get a point across. But anyhow, fear got a hold of me, and he finally said, go pray for him. And I walked over to him, and I said, excuse me. And the gentleman looked up at me from that wheelchair and said, you're going to pray for me, aren't you? I said, yeah, if you don't mind. God had already prepared him for that prayer, and he got healed. Praise be to God. I mean, oh my goodness, I just looked up at the clock. We're running out of time, brother.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, I do want, just because you're my guest, and I want people to know, you know, you've got one book here, Fasting for Breakthrough. That's an awesome book.
Well, bless your heart. It's a powerful, and I tell folks, the greatest breakthroughs in my life have always, and I say that carefully, but always come as a result of just after fasting or during a fast, when I've really taken time to seek God. So 21 days, kind of a pattern for breakthrough in various areas of your life. All my books are available on Amazon. Just look for Miles Holmes, Miles with a Y.
Yes. I wanted you to get that plug in there. One of the wonderful things about fasting, I used to weigh 234 pounds, and I was getting big. And but anyhow, God sent me to the North Georgia Revival. I believe some of it's been supernatural, but a lot of it is because I have been fasting more than I have in previous years. Now I'm down to 193. So, you know.
Terrific. I'm down 40 pounds as well, and feeling fit and fine, and more ready for battle. Hallelujah.
I think that's what he's doing. He's getting us ready for battle.
That's right, brother.
And the cool part about the battle is we've already won.
Glory to God.
We won. You know, I'm a former military man. I'm a former wild boy when I was younger. I used to love to scrap. And I know that if I got into a battle with somebody and I knew in the back of my mind that I win no matter what, I had no fear whatsoever. It's more applicable in the realm of Jesus Christ than it is in the realm of the world, if I'm making any sense here at all.
Absolutely. So, we can't lose. He's already won. Hallelujah.
And he always is one step ahead of us. As we said earlier, he's healing people before we call. The Bible says he'll answer before you call. I saw a man get healed. I saw a man get healed without one prayer being said. Just a dot of anointing oil on his forehead. And his legs were 6-7 inches apart. And instantly, they were even. We didn't even see it happen.
Nothing impossible for God.
Absolutely nothing. Well, brother, we're running out of time, unfortunately, because I could probably talk to you for another. I'm probably going to ask you to come back here in the near future, if you don't mind. And,
love to do that, brother. Love to do that anytime.
And one of the things God has me doing is so I got a YouTube channel. I do a little bit of television. Well, I got a background in television and radio. But God told me, be yourself and just talk about me. And I would love to have you come in and do a YouTube channel, a Zoom room with me. And I absolutely want you to come back. Why? Because the Spirit of God showed up. And when the Spirit of God shows up, that tells me a lot. It truly does.
Glory.
When the recording falls, I'm going, all right, recognize them by the Spirit.
Yes, you are.
Oh, I got to let you go. Man, I forgot you have a show to do. God bless you.
Got another show to do. God bless you, my friend. Keep in touch and stay in the fire.
You too, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you, folks, for listening today. Be blessed and be a blessing.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer. This is the Healing Light Show with your... This is the Healing Light Show. You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.